Hey guys, we're in the kitchen today. I think this is going to be a fabulous show because health and happiness, they often hinge on our plates, and I know they do for me. So it's not just about eating right, but savoring what delights our souls. It's my pleasure to welcome back Athena Sanjus, kid. I need to throw in the kid because I didn't do that last time. When she last graced our show, she delved into her journey from the corporate world to entrepreneurship. Her compassionate work as a life coach, and her commitment to creating safe spaces for underrepresented communities. However, today we've invited her back for a savory twist to her narrative. Athena is here to tantalize our taste buds with recipes that beckon the naughty yet nourish the nice. From luscious banana ice cream, I'm so waiting for some of that, to protein-packed delights. We're about to embark on a culinary adventure that promises to feed our souls, our bodies, and our very essence. Oh, that is so good. Athena's food philosophy dances on the edge of contradiction, merging pleasure with well-being. So fasten your seatbelts, buckle up. Let's discover some new tastes and some new amazingness. And Athena, here we go. I am so excited to do this. I bought the bananas. How are you doing today?
You did? Yes. Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Let me tell you, I've tasted pretty much everything that I'm making today, and I'm way too wired because of the protein richness in my food. You got the bananas, Michael?
I've got the frozen bananas. They're over there in the refrigerator, but I'm going to watch you make stuff today. But absolutely. Oh my gosh, we got to start this the right way. Who do you want to do a shout out to?
Thank you for asking. You know what? I gave this some careful thought because I saw you done this in the past. I want to thank my support systems, mainly my nuclear family, some extended family, and my beautiful wife. Thank you, everybody, for being so supportive.
Excellent. You got to love that. Let's jump in. We're going to learn about some killer desserts and food, and like I need some sweet stuff. So let's start with the textures, and like how do you describe the textures of like healthy treats and foods? And I've got cravings for things. What's the science behind it all?
You know, I'm really glad that you mentioned that. A lot of people are very turned on or off by texture, right? Even more importantly than the taste of something or its nutritional value, you want to make sure that the texture is to your palate. And yeah, that's been a problem for me too. Like I might like something, but it becomes too mushy. The texture of these items, very mainly the mango ice cream and the banana ice cream that we're going to be doing first. It's very similar to ice cream or a sorbet texture. It's nice to the palate and melts in the mouth. So if you like that, get ready for a nice ride.
So I don't understand something. Like, you know, people will say, well, if you want something sweet, eat carrots. I'm like, no, carrots are not sweet.
Yes,
and apples, you know, they can be sweet, but it's not the same as like, you know, cake.
It's not the same, but I'll tell you why it's even better. With cake, yes, you get the deliciousness and you get the immediate gratification of having your taste buds explode, but you don't get the nutritional value. Perfect example is a mango is very sweet, right? As is a carrot. And I've used that for desserts as well. Carrots are very rich in vitamin K. And they also fill you up with the vitamins that you need. A lot of times, even though you eat something like cake, cookies, and you feel satisfied, maybe an hour later or 2 hours later, even though you ate a high amount of calories and fat, you still want to eat more. And the body is wired to get you all the vitamins that you need for the day. So it can be problematic when all that you're ingesting is items such as dessert items that don't have all the vitamins that you need. Like a mango ice cream that we're making is one ingredient. It's rich in vitamin A, has many antioxidants. It's going to fill you up with vitamin E goodness. And it's actually going to help you lose weight, which we'll talk about.
Okay. So now here's the question. Should we have you make some of these things while we're actually talking? And then you can show us the amazingness as they are and how easy they are. Because I'm telling you, I've got to do something with those frozen bananas before they spoil.
Oh, I have a feeling you're going to be doing this today, Michael. Yeah, okay. I would love to. Should we get to it?
Let's do it. I'm going to throw this up on the screen. We're going to keep talking while you talk about this banana ice cream first. So there's the ingredients right there, right?
We got really simple, right?
Yeah, two bananas, some chopped nuts, chopped fruit, and whipped cream. And that's all optional. So That means I can throw anything I want to into this, like banana ice cream?
Anything you want. I tried to pick versatile recipes so that everybody could do this to their liking. So the first thing that I'm doing is I'm going reaching into my freezer. I'm getting some already pre-chopped up bananas, as you can see. There's no art to this. You can just rip them up with your hands. Oh, there I go.
Yeah. No, I see them there. They're good. They look just like mine.
Yeah. And also, you know what? Let's say that you didn't have time to get frozen bananas, but you want to do this recipe with me. I'm not kicking you out. Come along. Let's go. Get some of the bananas that you have already, and then you pop them in the blender. As you can see, my blender's a standard blender, nothing exciting about it. And what you do is you substantiate for not having frozen bananas. You use ice from the ice tray. And I'm going to do that with you today just to show you how you can do it even without freezing them. But frozen bananas are best.
So is it the when I'm pre-empting here. When we get done like mixing this up, is it going to be slushy or is it going to be, because I like hard ice cream. It's a texture.
Well, no, I'm with you on that. I want to feel like I'm having some real ice cream here, not anything that's kind of watery or milky. So the beautiful thing is you can do this to your liking and to your texture preference. So let's say you like your ice cream to be a thicker consistency, kind of like the boxed ice cream that you get at the store.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about. Like what you do is you make sure your bananas are frozen solid. And even if that's not enough, what you do is you continue to put ice in there until it's as thick as you want it to be. Another trick that I like to do, if it comes out too slushy and I don't have ice on the ready, I just pop it in the cup right in my freezer and I give it like about 10 minutes, come back and get it, and it'll be to the liking that I want.
Okay, that's perfect. So back to this whole scientific thing, what do you make these recipes for certain types of people or for just anybody, because you just like using like natural foods and like bananas and mangoes and all kinds of cool stuff? What's the philosophy?
Fantastic question. I mean, I would say all of the above. I am a natural person. My family are both from different countries, Dominican Republic and Haiti. Uh-huh. And I've always grown up using natural products and it's benefited all of our health. But as far as for clients that I have, most of my clients are neurodiverse, meaning they have autism or ADHD. Some may have bipolar disorder. A lot of neurodiversities have stomach sensitivities, such as GERD, acid reflux, constipation, to name a few. And a lot of my clients also have diabetes.
Feel you on the diabetes. Yep.
Oh, so, yeah. Yeah. And
you're not supposed to eat a lot of sugar and stuff. So fruits are usually good. It depends on who you listen to. Some people say fruits no good. Some people say fruits okay. But coming from angel food cake to bananas, I'm sticking with the fruits are okay.
Oh, you're never going back. And a special secret, you want it to taste kind of like angel food? You just use a little bit. Boom. A vanilla extract. That's the little cheat. But back to what you were saying, a big issue is that things aren't tasty, but a lot of individuals that I work with and individuals that do have diabetes, as well as most health issues, can be helped by eating healthier. The reason is because using ice cream with mangoes, for example, it actually improves your eyesight over time, improves the health in your hair, skin, and nails, improves digestion. You're going to be going to the bathroom more, which is what you want. Ideally, sorry. And I know it's like a taboo subject that people don't often talk about, but a lot of my clients are constipated. And as far as diabetes, if you do it the wrong way and you're not getting your sugars right, you're not going to get your vitamins, and you could catch yourself out there, goodness forbid, needing to quickly shove a cookie in or something like that because you're on low blood sugar. Eating naturally helps regulate that. You find that in conjunction, if you need medication and your doctor says you need it, in conjunction with this, I have seen some of my clients actually reduce their medication by eating healthier. Yeah, it's that powerful. It's amazing.
Okay. So we're talking mostly about desserts today because I know I need some desserts. So what's the next step in the banana ice cream thing?
Oh, yes. So step number two. So now I've just put, because these bananas are not so frozen, I've also implemented some ice. And there's just bananas in there. That's all I've done. I'm going to put the cap on my blender because you don't want this splishing all over the place. We want a clean kitchen. All right, there's going to be a little bit of noise. Is that all right?
We'll see in just a second if I can't hear you anymore. So, yeah, go ahead. Let's do it. As long as we're doing it, let's do it the right way.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, I'll be quick.
Okay. Oh, that's not bad at all.
Boom, I'm done.
Really? That was it. Bananas and ice, done. Okay.
So now what do I want to do? I like bananas. I like ice. And sidebar, something that I didn't mention was you got your bananas when they're ready, right? They're just ready to go. But you got your bananas when they are freckly and ripe. They're about to go brown. That personally is my favorite type of banana to use, although it's not required. It's sweeter.
Yes. Yes. Do you ever go banana bread brown and let it go even further? Or
yes, I do. That scares some people, but me, I'm all or nothing. I do. I wait till it's all that texture, then I chop it up and put that baby in the freezer. And it really makes for nice desserts. I like to use it in my protein balls too, which we'll get to soon.
Okay. I'm so salivating right now, thinking about just the ice cream.
Oh, Michael, you ain't seen nothing yet. Okay. What we're gonna do next now. Now, as you can see in the recipe, you can add chopped nuts on top. You can add what you want. I like to, see? So you got the chopped nuts optional. You got some chopped fruits. Also whipped cream optional. With me, I'm pretty old school. I like my ice cream straight up. Guess what I'm going to do? Boom. I'm also going to add a few chocolate chips into this lovely batter. And now I have chocolate ice cream. That's all I'm doing.
So you're going to mix it in and you're going to blend it in as we're going.
Yeah, and you're probably thinking chocolate. That sounds really naughty, Athena. That's not healthy. Oh, no. Guess what? This is how excited I get about this because I love my food. This is dark chocolate. Dark chocolate is good for the heart.
No, now see, that there's the whole paradox, right, of creating something that's indulgent yet healthy, right? And so that's what you're doing right now, that's indulgent and it's healthy too?
If I don't pull everybody in with delicious treats that are just slightly naughty, I'm going to lose them at saying, here's a kale salad. At first, I didn't come in straight eating kale salads, but I do now.
Okay.
But I started by slowly coming into the healthy world with recipes such as these, because they're really good for you. And once you realize you like these, you'll want to go even further. So
I'm thinking freeze it up, make it hard, put some nuts on top, add a cherry.
That's a fantastic idea.
Yeah. That's where I got to go with it. Okay, so you just threw in the chocolate chips, right?
So now I'm going to blend it just a little bit more, only to blend it properly with the chocolate, okay? And I'll show you
that. Okay, let's hear it. Let's see it.
Let's do it.
Well, that's not as loud as I thought it was.
Okay.
Very nice. So now you've got banana with chocolate. Yes, and it's all mixed up together. Yours is going to be smooth because, see, I don't do milkshakes, right?
Ah, I see. Yeah, you know what? I'm making mine a little bit more milkshakey, but let's say that it came out like that for you and you weren't happy with that result. You just, again, put some more ice cubes to your liking or pop it in the freezer right in,
in the freezer.
So yeah. It's a foolproof recipe. It really is.
I'm just going to go buy a Ben and Jerry's, cherry whatever, Jerry Garcia. Eat all that because you don't want to throw it away and then dump this into it and then let it freeze up again. That's what I'm talking about.
Exactly. Exactly. But when you don't want to do that, you can do this. You don't have to leave the house.
Oh, that's not even fair.
Fantastic, Michael. Come along with me. You're going to want to make this today.
We're doing that for lunch. I'm doing it for lunch today. Awesome. So we've got the banana recipe and you've also got mango.
Yes. And guess what? I pre-mixed it just because, do you see the process of what I showed you with the banana and ice cream? It's just that simple. In fact, I'm going to show you these little babies.
Nope, you got it.
So this is what mango slices look like.
Okay.
It's just that simple. I got this in a can just to show you how easy that is. You can freeze it this way. Or if you want to go all the way healthy, which is the right thing, this is your natural mango. This is a red mango that you can get at any grocery store or bodega. I'm not the best personally at peeling and cutting. And you know what? This is a good part as well. A lot of people that I help are neurodiverse and they have issues with fine motor coordination. I also have problems with my fine motor coordination. So you have to work with your strengths. And if you have a deficit, you have to make up for that. So guess what I did today?
What?
Not only do I have those mangoes that I showed you in a jar, which you can freeze up, I just got frozen mango chunks. You really can't do better than this. This is easy breezy. This was $12 at the store. I'm sure you can get it cheaper. Or in the can, it was only like $2.39.
Nice.
Yeah, it's done. Yeah.
I saw a thing on it was TikTok, I guess, where somebody said you don't just cut the mango on the side so it's straight, and you just take a glass and then you can literally scoop it out like you do with avocados. And I was like, no, that can't possibly work. And literally, it works. Like, I've never seen anything so amazing. So you just cut the sides off down the side of the mango and then just scoop it out with the glass, and it comes out perfect.
Michael,
I
love that idea. And also, that is the best money saver if you do it straight from the mango, like you said.
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing this whole thing where you try to peel it around and make the whole skin come off in one piece. Yeah, no, forget that.
That's what I was trying to do. I was like, I'm wasting more money with these mangoes, but I'm going to try the scooping method because it sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it works. I couldn't believe it, but it does work.
Yeah, so. And I can't go on enough about mangoes. Like I was saying about the mangoes, not only does it improve your eyesight, your hair, nails, and skin will thank you. And as far as your metabolism, that's very important. The more times that you go to the bathroom, that's the faster that that food is moving through your large intestine and small intestine, and it's keeping you clean. You may have up to 10 pounds of waste and blockages in your intestine right now. I'm sorry, that sounds crazy, but that's weight, you know?
And that is weight.
It's bringing you down. And anything that you ate, the toxins, like if you eat meat or if you ate anything processed, that's all staying inside of your body. Doing something like eating mango ice cream, which only literally the only ingredient is mangoes, not only is it increasing your health, it's taking those blockages out of your body to increase your health.
Now, how long does it take before you actually see a difference? Like, you eat mangoes and you say the eyesight gets better. How long does it take before you actually see that happen?
Good question. As far as it helping your digestive issues, you're going to notice it that day, possibly within 2 hours of that consumption. And as far as noticing things that I said, I would give it like a solid month of doing things such as this to really notice the difference. But you're going to, once you're going to the bathroom more often, once you're increasing your nutrition on a regular basis, you're going to instantly start to reap the benefits and you'll start to really be able to see them. I would even challenge anyone to start eating like this and take a picture of yourself before you start. And a month later, I want you to look at yourself, check your weight, see how much weight you've dropped, and see how good your skin looks.
Okay. I know when I was doing the, I did the, what do you want to call it? Veggie juice diet. It was absolutely fantastic, and you have to get used to it. But after you do, you can do straight juice. So apples were my friends with kale and spinach. But you lose weight fast, and you're right, your skin does look so much better if you're eating the natural stuff. And people actually commented on, the skin looking better. So I'm dead on with you there.
And you do have great skin, by the way.
Here we go.
Yeah, look at me, I'm glowing. I make it really important. Yeah, you can stay healthy throughout your life too by making more healthy choices such as this. Look at this mango ice cream, guys. Look at this.
Oh, now see, that looks really good. This is one you already froze up.
Yeah, this is actually, these are the frozen chunks that I just showed you in the bag. All I merely did was go in the blender. I put a few chunks, and you know what? It was really, really frozen solid. So I helped it along just by dripping a little bit of water.
Uh-huh.
And spinning it around so it's to my liking. This comes out, the other one came out more ice cream milkshakey, as you say, which you can make harder. This came out very much like a sorbet.
Yeah. And that's because of the texture of the mango going in.
Absolutely. And the taste is very strong, pungent, very sweet, but also it tastes healthy. Like, you can tell that you're improving your health benefit. You could also put whipped cream on this if you want, and nuts if you like.
Okay. Like, so what are some of the commonly held beliefs, like eating healthy, and maybe you've challenged them and overturned them by doing stuff like this with people? Like, what do what do you talk to people about? What do they believe afterwards?
Well, it's so interesting. I do have a client, which obviously will leave everything very androgynous. But what I'll say is this client has struggled with certain health issues. And what we talk about is making healthier choices. One example is they really like popcorn and buttery popcorn. So yeah. I showed them the benefit of Pam spray, or I can't believe it's not butter, and how you can spray sometimes even copious amounts if that's what you need to do. Or even seasoning, which I notice a lot of movie theaters do also provide now. That really has a greater benefit than having butter. Butter is full of fat. There's nothing wrong with butter, a little bit of butter in moderation. But if you could release and reduce the calories, rather, and still get the nice buttery flavor of using something like I Can't Believe It's Not Butter, mm-hmm. or the Pam spray, you can just watch yourself start to lose weight. And she's lost about 25 pounds since we started to work together, just literally from making things like polenta fries, which that's a whole nother story, but that, chef's kiss.
Are you talking about like Pam, like you spray on your pants so that things don't stick?
Oh, yes, I am.
If you and then spray that on popcorn?
Yes, I am.
Really? And it tastes like really? Butter?
It tastes just like buttery movie theater popcorn, exactly the same. Oh my except God. You don't have the guilt.
Me and Orville Redenbacher and Bangos and Bananas tonight. I'm going to throw on Wakanda Forever and just sit down and watch it and eat some popcorn and ice cream.
You're giving me some ideas, actually. You're really talking to me.
Right? Okay. Well, that's what we may be doing. I may be doing. You never know. So yeah. Why do you think people aren't eating healthy like this? Because I'm looking at you make it, and you're making it while we're on the show and we're talking. Why are people going out and buying the bad stuff, I guess?
I have a couple of theories, and some of them are related to the way that I was thinking before I did these things myself. Mm-hmm. Especially, I could say, in the United States of America, it's just so accessible to get food that's already made. We're all on the go. We're all busy. And I think we feel like, I don't have time to learn how to cook. I got to make sure my kids are okay. I got to make sure I'm at work on time. And you know what? It's just too hard. Or I like my food to taste delicious. I'm used to McDonald's.
McDonald's has the best sweetened iced tea, by the way. I'm just saying.
You're not lying. I mean, you're not lying. And that's one change that I've made too. As much as it hurt initially, I get unsweetened iced tea.
I do too.
Oh, you do?
I do too. I started years ago. I did a paper called The Sweetened Iced Tea Studies. I was in Tallahassee and I literally went around from restaurant to restaurant to restaurant and I'd order dinner and it's like, I want to try your sweetened iced tea. And I wrote a whole paper called The Sweetened Iced Tea Studies.
Oh, I would love to read that. Yeah, like sweetened iced tea is fantastic, but you know what? The sugar adds up, doesn't it?
And sugar adds up fast. And you get used to it without the sugar. And I love unsweetened tea now.
One thing that I've noticed about when you release yourself from feeling like you have to be a slave to extra things like a lot of sugar, a lot of salt, you start mm-hmm. to really enjoy the flavor of a food and it opens up your palate.
It does. And you are so right about the salt, because you put the salt on, everything just tastes like salt pretty much. But you're right. If you get rid of that salt, if you can hold out for the week that it takes to break the habit.
Oh, absolutely. Just like with the polenta fries, right? I love French fries. I love sweet potato fries. And both those are things you can make at home. But when you make something like polenta fries, uh-huh. you literally just get a tube of polenta. You cut them up in French fry shapes. A little bit of butter or the Pam spray, like we talked about, and some seasoning, like maybe some garlicky seasoning, whatever to your liking, a little bit of Parmesan on top. You cook those bad boys in the air fryer, and oh, it's heavenly. It ends up tasting better than French fries, and you lose weight.
We are so going to cut this show short today because I'm starving now. You know, I used to live in Venice, actually in Santa Monica, and I go to Whole Foods in Venice. And I started eating I found the baby asparagus for French fries. They are the best substitute ever. Now, we have no idea. Oh my God, yes. I wish I could go back there and just get asparagus because they are so good. Baby asparagus, not the big ones.
Maybe we can go back there. Maybe that'll be one of the recipes I work on.
Yes. Caden says that unsweetened iced tea. Mm-hmm. Favorite, right, Caden?
Oh, good, Caden. I agree.
Yeah, There's so many different flavors too. And you can even go into the herbals, right? And get the different herbal flavors. They're so good.
Oh, right. Like the raspberry. That's one of my faves. It even mm-hmm. kind of replicates. I don't know if you were ever on the Snapple train. I used to love Snapple. And one of the flavors I loved was the iced tea with the raspberry.
Yeah. I think ginger peach was my favorite.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You can replicate that. These things. Like all of these things is stuff that you can make in your own home. And back to what you said about why people don't really feel like they can cook, why they just go and do the more unhealthy thing mm-hmm. is the convenience. But what is more convenient than what we've just done right here?
It's really good. I'm going to order some mangoes today or go get them somewhere and have some ice cream.
Yeah, and take your sundae. Pre-prep all of these things, put them in little boxes, and you'll be ready to go during the week.
Okay. I got to know about now. I will say that Caden has been trying to get me to have the little power fat balls because I was doing keto for a while. Oh, my God.
Oh, what do you think?
I think that they're a lot of fat. But you know what? Here, I want to look at this one that you've got.
Yes.
You're doing protein balls, what, with oats and chocolate chips. So talk about this for a little bit.
Oh, my God. So easy breezy. Look at the ingredients. And the truth is you can modify. Let's say that you're not crazy about peanut butter. Do you like almond butter?
I like peanut butter.
I like peanut butter. Like, that's not a problem for me either.
Now, if you're talking about peanut butter and it's like non-Jif, I got used to the one that you have to stir up so that you know you get all the oil off the top and mix it, but I can do that too.
I'm so glad that you said that, by the way. Organic mm-hmm. peanut butter is best, and even Jif. If you see oil on the top of your peanut butter, you're doing something right, because that means it's natural. That's how peanut butter should look. When it's already pre-mixed and you don't see on top, that might be more processed, and you want to look out. You want that little ring of oil, so that's a good thing.
Oh, no, I got used to it where you have to stir it up and then keep stirring it so it doesn't come back up the top so that it's not, like, yucky.
Yes. Texture, yes.
Texture, thank you. That's the good word, not the one I'm thinking about, but yes.
I think I know what you mean. Well, yeah, absolutely. But with this recipe, this was one of my first that kind of brought me into the world of health even more than I already was in. Because as I stated, my family cooks pretty healthily for the most part. But, you know, I'm a kid that grew up in America. I like French fries and my desserts. But boom, this one, you really can't mess this one up. Like, take a look at the ingredients. Look at how good. Who doesn't like peanut butter or almond butter? Honey? Mm-hmm. Delicious. It's optional. You don't have to use it if you don't want to, but why wouldn't you want to? Semi-sweet chocolate chips. The same chocolate chips I showed you before. You know, a lot of these ingredients are interchangeable, as you can see. Flax seeds. And I have flax seeds here. I also have chia seeds. So flax seeds are great. They actually help you. Let's say that you have squeaky joints or do you know what I'm talking about? You're walking up the stairs and you can hear your little kneecaps popping and cracking.
It's popping right now, yes. As I flex my knees, I hear them going, yes, it happens all the time.
Same, but mines are much better nowadays because I incorporate flaxseed as often as I can into my foods. What does flaxseed do? It's texture. You can actually make hair gel with this bad boy. You can add it to your foods, and it's tasteless, flavorless. But what it does is it builds a healthy mucus. And sorry, yeah, that's what it does. Within your body, would buy me goodness. And it fills up those little, there's pretty much little bubbles full of oil. And they are between your joints and your kneecap. That's what helps you and what emolliates so that you don't hear that crack. But when you're low on it, you start to hear the crickety crack. And as we get older, even though we're still fabulous, you start to hear it more and more. But you can actually reduce that and reverse the processes of that. Many people have really, really raved because they just added a little sprinkle of flaxseed to their food. And that's what we're doing today.
Okay, so hold on. When you're having, like, let's say a baked potato, and a lot of people might put little bako bits or something on there. I don't do that. But maybe you could sprinkle flaxseed on your baked potato and it's like all good.
You absolutely could. Yeah, just don't overdo it. I would do like a teaspoon, about that much. And that will add hidden nutrition is what I like to call it.
Okay.
Yeah, I usually put flaxseed in dessert foods, but you absolutely could do that. and get away with it. What I usually do in my more savory foods is I add something called nutritional yeast. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
I've heard the word.
Well, allow me to show you.
What does one do with nutritional yeast?
And bam.
What is that?
That's just one brand of nutritional yeast. What it is this.
Okay. What do you do with it?
So I add that to savory foods. It's very nutty and a little bit cheesy tasting. And what it is it's full of vitamins, full of fiber, potassium, iron, and B12, which a lot of us in America are lacking. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much people know about B12, but if you don't have enough in your diet, you could literally go insane. It starts to degrade your joints and your bone. And it also helps with muscle memory. And also your brain is the biggest muscle that you have. And if you don't have enough B12, you could be in really bad condition. I, at one point, had to get vitamin B12 injections because I'm a vegetarian. But if I don't mind my B12, I can get very sick.
Gotcha. Is B12, it's one of the B vitamins or something you have to get from food?
Yes, unfortunately. And fortunately, I mean, the good news is that if you are not having access to B12, which is regularly found in foods such as eggs, a lot of meats, organ meats, but if you're a vegetarian or if you are a picky eater, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, what are you going to do? So then you need fortified cereals. You want to look at your cereal and see if it's been fortified and added to B12. If you're a sushi eater, nori. I love sushi. Do you like sushi, Michael?
I can eat sushi.
Deal. Well, the beautiful thing about sushi is that seaweed wrap around it is very rich in B12.
Okay. Yeah, no, I changed my teeth, my taste from what do you want to call it? Tempura to sushi.
Ooh, yes. Yeah.
So I like sushi now. But
welcome.
Yeah. Next time we get together, we'll do some sushi, we'll do some vegetables, we'll do all kinds of stuff.
I would absolutely love it. And we'll just only eat delicious foods. And also Swiss cheese.
As opposed to?
Oh, so Swiss cheese as opposed to cheddar or American. That does not have as much nutritional value as Swiss cheese does. It has a lot of B12.
Okay. Swiss cheese on my list today. I'm learning a lot of stuff from you today. Show us the power balls that you're talking about.
All right,
here.
So the protein balls. The protein balls. The ingredients, as you know, you need 1 cup of rolled oats. So get your measuring cup out or use a cup. I'm kind of a makeshift kind of cook. Yeah. So just get a cup's worth of rolled oats. Then you want I use quick oats, they work fine. Half a cup of natural peanut butter, like we were talking about. You want to see that oil on the top.
Mm-hmm.
1/3 cup of honey.
Okay.
And you want to get 1/4 cup of mini semi-sweet chocolate chips. Now, here's where you can get creative. You don't want chocolate chips? Put a little bit of peanutless M&Ms, or put a little bit of carob for people that don't like chocolate. Yeah, carob is actually very healthy and vegan.
Now, why did you say peanutless M&Ms? Because, you know, the peanut ones are the best.
Just you know what? You could, but I'm just thinking about people's teeth. Oh. I don't want you to get any surprises.
Okay.
Yeah, you could do that too. And then the honey just kind of coats it all together, as does the peanut butter. So far I have about a cup's worth of rolled oats in here. Got some peanut butter going. Uh-huh. All right. We're going to put some flaxseed in here as required.
Is this going to be another one of those frozen things, or do you just like roll these up and then pop them in your mouth?
Hey, you know what? Good question. So everything that I've done today is no bake. I did that on purpose because you don't have to be the best cook to make these recipes. You really don't. There's no bake. And this one, all I'm going to do is literally roll it into balls. Then I'm going to put it in my fridge and I'll come back in about half an hour and have it. You can have it for breakfast with your coffee. You can have it as a nice snack anytime you need a little pick me up. And it fills you up because of the protein. You won't be as hungry later.
Okay. So I'm going to compare yours with Caden's and we're going to do some.
Oh, is Caden making one?
Caden is all about keto. Caden's all about keto. So
keto has helped so many people. It actually really helps with epilepsy, which I personally am epileptic, as are some of my caseloads. Again, a lot of people that are neurodiverse also suffer from epilepsy.
Okay.
They're not, and this will reduce that.
I'm finding out all kinds of new stuff from you here today, so this is awesome.
Thank you. I feel like we all have to educate each other, right? We're all here together. I'm just a vessel. I probably put too many chocolate chips, but too many according to who?
Yeah, I'm about to say, like, who said that?
Who said? Nobody.
What do you think about the emotional, like, connection between food and love? Because I'm telling you, like, food is... That's my jam. We all go out and eat. I don't think I've ever been out on a Friday night where it's like, okay, we're going to do dinner and this, you know, food and something.
Well, it's funny that you say, what is the connection? There's no connection. Food is love. They're one and the same. Just like you said, you go out and there's not a day you could think of that at least going and grabbing a bite is not involved. You know why? Because food brings people together. Since I want to say the beginning of man, right? Everyone gathered around. Mm-hmm. People went out and foraged, and people met around the fire or wherever they met, and they ate together. It makes people closer. I don't know about you, but if there's times of sadness or big events in my family's life, we gather with food, funerals, babies being born, birthday parties. We literally have a cake. Which you can make healthy now. But we literally have cakes to commemorate when someone's aging. So I think that food is huge. Thanksgiving, Easter, all of these events. And even Thanksgiving, right? We use it as a harvest because there's a lot of fruits and vegetables that are coming up and a lot that we have to get rid of. I think it's integral in our survival. So making healthy choices and increasing what you make of health that you bring to communal meetings like Easter, Christmas, that also improves the livelihood of yourself and your family. And it teaches healthy practices so that the generations ahead will live longer. There was times back in the day that people lived a long time. There's actually times when our grandparents and great-grandparents lived a very long time because they were...
Oh, my grandparents made it to like 102, 103.
What? Oh, you got DNA. So I'm
just saying, I want those genes. Let me have them.
That's what I'm talking about. It's the food.
I want to do something to you while you're still preparing our protein balls. I want to go ahead and we're going to play a little bit of this or that.
Please.
Yes, we are. So I'm going to give you two choices. You can choose one or the other, but not neither or both. And let's just see how that game goes today.
All right, let's do it.
All right, we'll start easy and maybe they'll get harder or maybe they're all easy. We'll see. Which one do you prefer to experiment with, sweet or savory?
Ooh. You know what? Let's go with savory. I do love sweet, but if there was dessert or dinner, I prefer a nice, yummy dinner. That's where I'm going every time.
How about homemade bread or store-bought bread?
You know I'm going to say homemade. I want less ingredients. And I want to be in control of my health and how much butter and products that I want and don't want to be in it all day. Homemade.
Which mealtime offers potential for creating the most neurodivergent friendly dishes, breakfast or dinner?
Ooh, I like that. I'm going to say breakfast because if you don't start your day with a proper breakfast,
okay,
the rest of your day can really go downhill. You can be crankier. You can react more to sensory sensitivities. You're less prepared if you have a meltdown or a shutdown. You need to start with a healthy meal.
What's more challenging to work with in the kitchen, gluten-free or dairy-free?
Ooh, gluten-free. You know why? Yeah. Because that's really hard. Like, I will say, I want to do more things that are inclusive to gluten-free diets because it seems like it's really hard. Like, I personally don't have a problem with gluten intolerance, but a lot of people I know, you know, they have products like Udi's and such that really do promote them having the same foods as us, but it's hard. As far as dairy-free, I already have a dairy-free kitchen. Okay. I use oat milk. My wife loves oat milk. I also used to love almond milk and rice milk. I like all non-dairy milks. Also, a lot of people are lactose intolerant. So
yeah, it took me a while to like, I don't like milk because it's gummy. And the nut milks were going to be the same way, but almond milk is, yeah, I eat it with cereal now. It's all good.
Oh, so, is that your milk of choice?
Well, it's the only one I've tried. I haven't tried the other ones yet, so we'll see.
I'm going to take oat milk. I can feel it. By the way, my protein balls are complete.
Let me ask you a question while we're getting ready to see those. What's more important when selecting ingredients, organic produce or local produce?
Oh, ooh. You know what? Can I say local organic produce? Is that like a cheat?
Yeah, it was, but you know, I kind of agree with that too.
I'm going to go with local organic because we have some farm stands around here. We have some fantastic. I live in Long Island. Oh. And in Suffolk at that, like you can get your eggs straight from, you know, the chicken. You can go to lovely farm stands, especially on the weekends. There's a lot out east where you can get all natural. I love a fresh tomato. Oh my goodness. Once you have one of those, you never want to go to
store. You don't ever want to go back after you've had a fresh tomato. Like the ones that you can actually throw at people on stage and they break instead of hit like baseballs.
Right. Yeah. I want to be able to throw it properly and not hurt anyone.
Yeah. What do you find more nutritious and satisfying for varied tastes and needs? Smoothies or juices?
Ooh, smoothies. I like smoothies personally. You like them too?
I like them. I've got a juicer and but smoothies can be good, but there's that milkshake taste texture again that not working with me.
That's true.
Yeah. What do you find more essential in creating flavorful dishes, herbs or spices?
Ooh. Darn. Damn, you got me. That's they're getting considerably harder with time.
They are, right?
Ooh, herbs and spices. Jeez. You know what? Give me herbs all day.
I think it herbs, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Herbs can really add so much flavor. Like, oh my goodness, those polenta fries I told you about. I throw some thyme on that, some sage. Pop. Herbs, definitely.
Okay. This might be a little tricky one, but what's your preference for sharing recipes with diverse audiences? Would it be cooking live or pre-recorded sessions?
Ooh. You know what? I really like cooking live. There's a couple of clients that was part of what we did. You know, one of the things I do at Success Life Skills is I provide life skills classes. And for some people, helping them cook, even if it's something that you might consider a basic meal. Not everybody has the same amount of fine motor skills and not everybody has the same amount of awareness of cooking. And bakeless cooking is a really nice way to cook with someone that may have certain neurodivergent challenges. Okay. And that safety is first. There's also safety scissors, safety knives, and utensils that are plastic and large and that you can't hurt yourself with.
There you go. Yeah, once you know, I leave my little paring knife out all over the place, and I'm like, God, where did I put it? I don't want to stick it.
Oh, no. If a robber comes in, I'm in trouble.
Which one do you think aligns more with neurodivergent needs, a Mediterranean diet or a keto diet?
You know, I'll be honest. I've read a little bit about both. I think it's individualistically important. I don't think I can really answer that because each person has their own journey. I know that the keto diet is very conducive to reducing epilepsy. Although in the world, only 1% of individuals, including myself, have epilepsy. Over 40% of them, for the most part, are usually also neurodivergent. So it just so ends up that the population that I love to help, a lot of them have epilepsy and a lot of them are on the keto diet. Once you reach ketosis, it has been believed that a lot of people, their seizures are reduced.
Huh. It's hard to stay in ketosis because I've tried keto before and you can lose weight with it really fast. Yes. But as soon as I have like a lemon blueberry muffin, then.
But you know what? That's why I'm here, because I feel like once you say the word diet, you know, I'm just speaking from personal knowledge. Uh-huh. I feel like you're already setting yourself up to lose, because a diet means it's a temporary plan and you can go back to what you really want to do. You kind of have to have a lifestyle so that this is you now. This is not a diet. You're not going to, this is what you're doing for life now because you like it and you actually tolerate the tastiness.
Gotcha. What do you think, cooking as art or cooking as science?
Ooh, I can't say both, huh?
No.
You know what? Even though I love the science of cooking, art, because if it's not pretty, I'm not going to eat it. You know what I mean? Imagine you go to a restaurant and they slop it all on your plate. It's got ugly colors. I want to see bright greens, the greens of like dark leafy greens, which are good for your heart. I want to see oranges, reds. I want to like feel the beauty as well as eat it.
Let me ask you this then. We talked about, you know, going out on Fridays or Saturdays, whatever, and you eat, right? So what resonates more with like your philosophy? Would it be food as fuel or fuel as connection?
Ooh. I mean, I can't deny the fact there's fuel, but I'm going to say food is connection, because just like what you said, that like triggered me in the best of ways. I was like, wow, food actually is happiness. Like, I know that my whole life has been surrounded by food. I remember moments that I was sad and the food that I ate, moments that I was happy, moments that I overate to compensate, which that wasn't healthy. But food has been the background as much as music to my life, and it brings people together. So I would say definitely food is a main connector. That's what you do when you go out on Friday and Saturday night. You eat.
You eat. Yes, I do. That's unfortunate for me. So,
well, you look great. And if you ever need any more help with this, we're going to be on this journey together, Michael. So you just let me know anytime.
Okay. I'm going to have you just send me recipes. What do you think is more crucial in creating satisfying food? Like, especially for neurodivergent tummies, right? Like food, like flavor exploration or texture exploration?
Ooh, wow. Well, for neurodivergent people?
Yeah.
Texture. Texture. Okay. Yes, I remember being a kid, a neurodivergent kid, and my mother, for some reason, it was me. I was the one. She forced me to eat tomato slices. And granted, over time, now I love tomatoes. But she would make me eat those thinly sliced tomatoes. And I'm sorry, Mom, for the terror that I brought. But I would throw those babies like a dish in the back of the radiator. And in the wintertime, it's going to smell like a pizzeria when you eat stuff like that. But I did it to her every time. I could not stand the texture.
Those little seeds in the middle, like where they're swimming around, that jelly stuff. I got you. I understand that.
Yeah, like I tolerate it now because you know you eat enough sandwiches and you're like, darn, like the tomato really makes it pop.
But it
like
makes by a itself, difference, not, right? You don't think slices. It does, but it does.
Yeah, oh I God. Think texture is as important, if not more, than even flavor. It's the reason why a lot of neurodivergent kids and adults stick to bland, beige food and processed food that's not healthy. It's because at least they can count on the taste being all the same. And the irony of that is, even with that unhealthy food, let's say they change the recipe. Like I remember when the French fries at a certain fast food chain, like they use different oil all of a sudden.
Yep.
Some people got turned off because once you change one of my favorite things, it's changed now the texture and the taste. And that's just proof in the pudding that if you introduce from the start to a neurodiverse person, healthy food, they're going to go for it every time, as long as you keep it consistently the same.
That makes sense. What do you think plays a bigger role in eating satisfaction for neurodivergent? Would it be the emotional connection or physical response?
Ooh, so I have to pick one, right?
Yeah.
Ooh, wow. You know what? I'm going to say, even though both are equally important, I'm going to say physical response because even if you love pizza, and then you go and eat it and you get horrible acid reflux, you might just, you're going to start to look at that pizza as a gun. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to hurt so much that I do not want that, even if it's tasty, because pizza's amazing.
Yes, it is. What's more inspiring when you design food, family recipes or new creations?
Ooh, la la. Dang, I really want to say both, but I will say new creations just because I love my family's food. Like, we grew up eating plantains, rice and beans. I don't eat pork, but they make a lot of meats, a lot of delicious things. So as much as I enjoy making those dishes to the best of my capacity, empanadas, I really, really like this health food movement. I like a kale salad. I like to learn how to replicate things. Like, I make these fantastic healthy vegetarian cheese wontons. I can't eat them at the Chinese restaurant. They have crab meat in them and they're really fried. So I learned how to remake them in a healthy way. So I will say yes, hands down, I love making new recipes such as these, which that was so easy. And now I'm good for breakfast.
Well, you're going to make me, I've been staying inside because it's been dang hot here in Texas. And it is 100 and whatever. I think it's probably 104 already today.
Oh my God. Get in the pool.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do, but you're making me want to go find some plantains and some black beans and rice. And
oof, yes.
Okay. Anyway, so which perspective?
Do it. Yes.
I'm probably going to have to. Which perspectives drive your culinary decisions, like for neurodivergent friendly foods? Gut health or brain health focus?
Ooh, you know what? Gut health, because your gut is your second brain.
Yes.
So technically, they're one and the same, because if you're constipated, guess what? Especially if you're having neurodivergent communication issues, this is what happens. And I've seen it over and over again. You become irritated. You're not aware of why you're irritated. You can't go to the bathroom. Now a week has passed by. You're stopped up. Now you're getting cranky. Now there's toxins entering your system. You feel unwell. You feel unhealthy, and you can't express that, because even non-neurodivergent people sometimes don't realize that's what's going on in them. And when you can't express yourself, especially if you are prone to being into crisis, you could begin to express yourself maladaptively. What does that mean? Punching your mom, biting someone, screaming and crying, or wanting to be isolated, rocking back and forth. All of these things are common things that can happen instead of someone being able to express that they're experiencing discomfort, because the processed foods that are safe for them are stopping them up.
Gotcha. And
yeah, upsetting them. So it's really important for me to provide the engine to my clients that are going through these issues, which is most of them, and help them so that they can clean out situations that would make them upset. And one person that I have is not neurodivergent per se, but they have really bad lymphedema. So we talk about certain foods that reduce inflammation, adding flax seeds to their food, elevating their legs, and drinking a plethora of water, making sure they get enough fitness. Because I also help some of my clients with increasing exercise, which exercise and eating should go hand in hand.
I love this whole discussion. I got one more question for you. And then I'm going to figure out how to move to New York so you can work with me. But
hey, I also provide virtual life coaching. So talk to me.
Okay. We're going to talk. Well, what's your ultimate goal as a culinary creator for neurodiverse communities? Is it inclusion through food or advocacy through food?
Ooh, I can only say one, huh?
Well, what's your top one?
You know what? Inclusion through food, because a lot of what I'm trying to do is include all. My point is not to signal out neurodiverse people. Okay. My real objective is to help us neurodiverse people navigate themselves through a neurotypical world. And what do I mean by that? I mean, this world isn't really set up for people to accommodate minorities. One minority being, yeah, unfortunately, being neurodiverse individuals, not everybody understands those needs. And sometimes neurodivergent people don't understand really what they need either. So I would say by me helping with these nice recipes, and some of them are even as simple as modifications they can make by going to a restaurant, getting the apple fries instead of the French fries, you know, that way they can feel included in normal society. I have one of my clients that they eat very well, but when they're around their friends, they make very poor food choices because they want to fit in and they don't.
I was about to say, it's easy. It's like, you know, it's you're there with everybody else. It's like, I'm not going to be that guy. It's like,
yeah, like I don't want to be weird, and right. You're not weird. And in fact, what I want to say even further than that is people that are normal, I haven't met them. You got a beautiful Facebook. It doesn't mean that everything's going well for you. We all have things that make us stand out. I think we should celebrate our differences. But for when we don't want to feel like there is a microscope or a camera on us, we can blend in by making these simple choices. Even something as simple as going to the bar with your friends and drinking a healthy mocktail that has fruit in it.
Love that. Love that. Let's make sure people can stay in touch with you. I'm definitely going to stay in touch. Yes, we've got your website. We've got successls.com as your main website. And you're also on Instagram at, and for everyone who's listening instead of watching, it is at success_life_skills @_services. Success Life Skills with underscores. Right. Yep. And then we've got Facebook and YouTube. They're both Success Life Skills with an S, services with an S. And is that a protein ball that you just showed us right
Yes,
now?
It is.
Yeah. Now you're gonna break that into pieces, and are you gonna just leave it like that?
Well, what I'm gonna do is throw this in the fridge. There's multiple, so I
just throw them in the fridge. Okay.
Woohoo! I put it on a cookie sheet, aka my air fryer tray with foil. I'm just gonna pop these babies in. Oh yeah, thanks. I'm gonna pop these babies in the fridge. I just broke off a little piece right now to show you that they're immediately edible, even though they're tastier once they've congealed. That's why I put them in the fridge. They're going to further congeal, and the flavors are going to amalgamate.
There we go. So for all of us that need... I got to freeze it first and do bites. Okay. And you're also on LinkedIn. So you're on LinkedIn, Athena. And for it, even though it's sun, it's ST. And it looks like just, but it's J-U-S-T-E for everyone who's looking online and can't see what's on the screen. Okay. I'm going to leave this up on the screen so people can get you at your successls.com. And this has been an amazingly fun show. And I am starving.
I'm so happy to be a part of this. And honestly, I hope that by me mentioning this as a vessel, it's helped educate people on foods that they can have that are delicious, that are slightly naughty tasting, but actually will make them feel better. And that will increase them going to the bathroom. So be aware of that too.
Just keep it on the real.
Yeah, I'm being real.
All right. Thank you so much, Athena. And we will talk again in the future for sure. Everybody else, we'll see you in the future.
Thank you. Mwah.